Welcome to Doula Club, a podcast for doulas by a doula. I'm your host, Bonnie Silva. Enjoy the ride.
Hey guys, this week's episode, we have Mary Pluz. She is a doula I met through Carriage House Birth. Her story is really interesting of how she became a doula, what she does in her doula career. And we also talk about inductions, so stay tuned. All right, we're starting. Thank you so much for being here, Mary. This was so awesome. And I was late because I was getting us coffee creamers.
Thank you so much. It's delicious. Thanks for having me on the show. This is really exciting for me.
No, this is so cool because, you know, we met through Carriage House, which is our meeting point. But you are fascinating because we're from like New England, you and I. Mm-hmm. We're both doulas and we both have dogs.
Yes.
So
dog moms.
Yes. We're both dog moms. But tell me, because you work with other collectives too. And I, you know, why don't you start? Like, do you want to start with your story and then go into that?
Yeah.
Like, you do you.
Yeah. Okay. So my background, I guess we didn't really talk about this much before, but so I was born into an Irish Catholic family,
love,
which means that
so
a lot
babies.
Of us, someone's always pregnant or breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of exposure from, you know, just like growing up in that atmosphere. And then my mom is a nurse and a lactation consultant.
No shit.
She's been at IBCLC for like 20 years. So I kind of just like grew up with that.
You
know, like I knew what colostrum was mm-hmm. when I was a little kid, thought that was totally normal. And then here I find out, and I would like go visit her at the hospital. I go to her breastfeeding support groups. I just like had this weird inherent knowledge about breastfeeding and birth and all of that. And I'd like go visit her at the hospitals and she'd be like, okay, go take ice chips to everybody, deliver them to the rooms and everything.
That is amazing. What was that in the 1990s?
Yeah. Mid 90s.
Wow.
And it was awesome. And, it was really nice to see her working with people and like how much they loved her. And I also remember like I'd go out with her, like I'd be in the grocery store with her. Even now, sometimes when I go home, I'll be with her out somewhere and people will be like, Bernadette, oh my gosh, you saved my life. Like you saved my baby, blah, blah, blah. Like really, like she's an everyday hero. So I like grew up with that and I never thought that I would do anything related to it. I was like, this is cool, but not for me. And then, like, you know, 20 years later, I realized, like, it's exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And I love it. And I call her all the time. She was like, I'm going to start invoicing you for all of the calls you get. Because I'll be like, Mom, what does this mean? And she's like, yeah, she gives me so much information. She's helped me out so much in, like, starting this career. I'll pay her back someday. I'm going to take care of her when she's really old, whatever. But yeah, that was kind of my start. I was like, that was my background. I didn't start until I was in college. Cause I went to my little hippy dippy liberal arts school that was really focused on, social justice and activism. And so I started learning about doulas through that lens of just advocating for people, getting people the support they need, educating. And then, yeah, like the nice, like hands-on stuff too. That was like the lens that I started viewing doulas from, and what really drew me to it. And then what else? After college, I started working at a clinic kind of similar to Planned Parenthood, like a public clinic. Did a lot of like sexual and reproductive health counseling and pregnancy counseling and all of that. But I was really drawn to the birth side of things.
To doula work.
Yeah. Yeah. I met a bunch of doulas. And when I was in college, I had a class, it was an anthropology of reproduction class. And our professor basically primed us all to become doulas because our professor had her midwife come in and talk about she's a midwife and a doula. So she's been doing this forever. And I just remember being in the class being like, what the fuck is this? This is crazy. I love this. This is exactly like that. It's like the hands-on support. It's so dynamic. You know, I love supporting people with, through the education piece, the advocacy piece, the hands-on stuff. It really like sucked me in. And I was so interested in it. And I ended up doing a training with her, the woman who her name's Michelle L'Esperance. She owns Warm Welcome Birth in Northampton, Massachusetts. So I did my training with her and then started taking clients right away and then abruptly moved to New York and derailed my whole life. But then joined a bunch of collectives here. So that's my story.
So you moved to New York City and you eventually joined a bunch of collectives, but talk to me about that process. Like what led you to join different collectives and what led you to do what you're doing now? Because, you know, as a doula, you're an independent contractor. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about that.
So when I was still in Massachusetts, figuring out how I was going to move here, I met a doula who had worked previously. Her name's also Bonnie. She worked with Carriage House probably like five years ago. Okay. And she was like, when you get to New York, hit up Carriage House. You have a bunch of tattoos. You'll fit right in. It's going to be great. And that's exactly what I did. I got here and I started emailing them. I flooded people with emails and just was like trying to network. And so I immediately joined Carriage House and then over the next year joined a couple others. And it's been really nice. It's definitely a way that I found clients and gotten referrals. But it's like the community aspect that really draws me to working with the agencies and the collectives. Cause I've met so many other doulas that way. And, you know, this work is like a little bit isolating because we all are really independent.
Sure.
And then when we do finally get into a room together, it's like we could talk for hours because we need that connection. We need the attention because we're like focusing on everyone else. And then we need like some me time. We need doula time. We need doula clubs exactly like this. So like this is
but it's
really
like
great.
You need that moment where you just need to like purge that out.
Totally. Yeah. And it's been really nice meeting everybody through Carriage House. I'm so happy that we do the meetups now because we didn't do it when I was starting out. I feel like it was really rare.
I think they didn't do it for a while and it was very inconsistent.
Yeah. Because of the space and everything. Now there's a really beautiful space. I love my
Do you have these meetings at your other collectives?
Not as much. I think that they do like it may be like every few months.
So, and how important is these meetups, these doula little meetups, these doula chats? Yeah. I like to call them doula chats because like in my head, because I'm so stupid, like sometimes I'll be like, is it a doula meetup with clients? So I call it, I call it a doula chat. Yeah. And like these doula chats, how important are they for you?
They're so important because I learn so much from other people. Like we all know the same shit. You know, we're all doing a million trainings. We're all learning so much. We all attend a bunch of, you know, whatever. We have our varied levels of experience, but I learn so much from just talking to other people like you, like other people from Carriage House or, you know, whoever. It's nice to just see how other people do it and, you know, figuring out how to have your own business and like how you're going to run it and what works for you. Cause we don't have to do it all the same way. We can do it totally differently. And there's no shortage of pregnant people and babies in this city. So like, it just makes sense that you just do what's right for you and that's going to resonate with someone, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about inductions because that's a big doozy. And I think that, now that we're both seasoned doulas, we get it. But when we're new doulas, we have this idea that we don't even have the conception of what induction really is.
Because it's not covered in the trainings as much. It's like, okay, these are the things that can happen. This is an augmentation. These are inductions, blah, blah, blah. But like focusing mainly on what textbook labor looks like and like nobody, whatever. Textbook is not the experience of most people.
No.
And so I've been to a handful of births and more than half of them have been inductions in some way or another. Maybe their labor started, but maybe their water breaks, but there's no contractions or something like that. So they're technically being induced. Mm-hmm. And then others are like straight up inductions for, you know, preeclampsia or, you know, low fluid, high fluid, anything, like anything and everything. So I've been to more inductions than spontaneous labors basically at this point. And I used to not really talk about it as much in my, prenatal visits with folks, but now I make a huge point of going over everything with them, because there's a solid chance that they're going to be experiencing at least some aspect of either induction or the pretty typical augmentation procedures.
What is one thing about inductions that surprises you? To me, it's always the length, because it's always different for every client.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's so varied. They're mostly very long. And I guess it depends on where you're at when they're inducing you. But for the most part, we're talking not hours, we're talking days. And
oh yeah,
that's okay. I don't think that providers always make that clear to folks. Like I've definitely, the last two, I went to two over the weekend, and they both were like, oh yeah, so we're starting this up overnight and then we'll have the baby during the day. Or like one of them was like, yeah, my doctor was like, let's induce you Friday morning and then we'll have the baby by Friday night. You get the weekend to just chill in the hospital. And I was like, yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
So that what surprises me is that people get lost in the time in the hospital. You know, like the hospital is a vacuum, and like it's so hard to just carry. You're like, oh my God, I guess I might as well move in because this is my life now here in this hospital.
Bring my dog. Yeah, I'll have a tent in the back.
Exactly. And I really focus on when I'm at an induction, you know, beforehand, we talk through all of the things that they'll probably come up against, or, you know, things that are recommended, what's really normal, what kind of advocacy we need to think about. But then, you know, when we're there, it's like, stay patient and really stay optimistic. Like it's very easy to lose that sense of optimism. Like it's easy to forget that you're having a baby and that we're here to do this thing. But like, it's helpful to have someone being like, hey, like this is okay. This is normal. Like this will end. Yeah. We're going to meet your baby soon, you know, soon, relative, whatever. Time is relative. But it's a lot of reassurance and affirming that things are going to be okay. For people. But yeah, it is shocking when people are like, wait, why are we here? Oh yeah, we're having a baby. Oh, okay. All right. That's okay. Okay. And they need a reminder in a couple hours, you know, that kind of thing.
I always tell people, you know, especially previous clients that are like, all right, I just called the doctor and we have to go in for X and XO reason.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, so then go take a shower.
Yeah.
Eat a huge breakfast, and mm-hmm. I make it really emphasis, and they're probably like, that fatty, she probably eats all the time. And I'm like, no, you're probably going to be in the hospital for 3 days. So yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
They need that. They need that nourishment. They need a break to like regroup before they go to what I had a client who like, they were like, you need to be induced today. Like go up, basically go upstairs. And they were like, no, can we go home first and then come back? And they're like, okay, they showed up, they went home, they had a little panic attack, called me, went back to the hospital. I think like 10 hours later, because it's like you, when you show up to the hospital, the induction begins. So if you don't show up right away, like it starts when it starts. It's your choice. You still have a choice.
And a lot of times, I don't know about your experience, but like I've been in hospital situations where they're there, let's say 8 o'clock in the morning is like the time, quote unquote, they're supposed to be there to get induced. Exactly. They're really induced at like 1 o'clock in the morning, in the afternoon.
Yeah. Yes,
you know, so it's just like, it's crazy how long they're like waiting and paperwork and all that.
Right.
And, which is why I've told clients, and I feel like they don't believe me. And it's only when they're in it that they're like,
oh, you were right. You were so right. Why didn't I eat my giant like breakfast burrito before I came? I know. Or it's often like you come in at 11 p.m. We're inducing you. You're going to be starting things up in the morning. And it's like, okay, but then you come in, you don't sleep. Yeah. You maybe get induced at 11 p.m., but most likely it's going to be like 3 a.m. or 5 a.m. like this last couple I was with. And it's like, damn, you haven't slept or eaten in so long. You're starting this off like that. That's so rough. You know, you got to take care of yourself before this. So it's, I definitely try and relay all of that to people before they go in.
I mean, the scenario is so different from a birthing center. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So you have some interesting stories that you want to share, and I would love to hear.
Yeah. So I kicked off my doula career with my first birth was a 4-day long induction.
Oh my God.
So that was fun. and I came out of that being like, I really hope they're not all like this long. And I didn't even do another birth for a year. Because I moved here in the meantime and when I was doing a lot of postpartum support.
Mm-hmm. So you're still like in it.
Yeah, I was in it, but I was also like, I don't know if I can take 4 days off again while I'm like transitioning, living here, whatever. So, so that first one was intense. And like with all births and with all inductions, there are good parts. There are nice parts. There's like relaxing, there's excitement, there's nice moments. But then there's also really tough spots of like, you know, losing your patience, losing sight of what's happening. It's still uncomfortable if you get an epidural and you're laying in a bed for 3 days. Like, it's not fun. And that first one, I was living near the hospital, so I would leave to like sleep for an hour here or there. But for the most part, I was there. I was a new doula. I was like, I got you, girl. Like, I'm here for you. And she was a single mom too. So I was like, I really felt like I had a huge role in it.
Yeah.
And it was great in a lot of ways. I felt like I could really support her through the process of like, you know, navigating the induction procedures and staying calm through that. But it also gave me a chance to like see every form of induction in the hospital too. I saw like basically every procedure all the way to step one, being like, well, they started with Pitocin, but like every little thing, Cervidil, balloon, Pitocin again, epidural, and she ultimately had a C-section. So it was a long 4 days.
Wow.
And everything turned out okay. And mm-hmm. I'm still in contact with her. I follow her on Instagram. Her baby is the cutest baby I've ever seen in my life. And it was really tough, but like helping her stay informed through the process was key to her feeling okay about it. I think that's what we've mostly talked about since. But it definitely primed me for my future induction experiences with my clients, here, cause it's happened so much. And like this past weekend, I went to 2 inductions back to back and now I'm really prepared. I like know what I need to talk about with people beforehand. This time I popped in to say hi in the beginning of the inductions, or in the, it's like in the middle, cause it was what, still like 12 to 24 hours in, but, to like come in and be like, hey, you're doing great. You look amazing. And here's a birth ball if you want to use it. And like, I know it's still early on. Things are going to keep going for a while. I'm going to come back. You just keep texting and calling me as things progress. And if you need me, I'll be back whenever. And that was really nice. I don't always get to do that, but it doesn't always make sense to do that. But when people have a lot of anxiety around their mm-hmm. labors, I tend to jump in sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, special circumstances, single parents.
Yeah.
My preeclampsia, I had 3 preeclampsia clients in a row. And so they were all induced. And I definitely went a little bit earlier mm-hmm. just because that is a really high risk situation.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's intense. Yeah. So I handle inductions different ways. As far as like, you know, how, when I go and what I do. And that just depends on my clients and what their needs are.
So when you are talking to a client in your prenatals, how do you talk to them about inductions?
So I talk to them in the prenatals. I go through like all the most common induction procedures and like, what's that like? We go over timing, and then kind of leave it at that. And I talk to people about C-section as well, to just kind of like talk them through that procedure just so that they are aware of it. Even people who are really hoping for low intervention or like no unnecessary interventions, vaginal deliveries, people who are really tied to that, I still go over all of it because you got to know there's still a chance. It's really important. At the point where doctors are, or whatever, providers are recommending an induction, usually, you know, later in their pregnancy, I start to send out like evidence-based information. I send out a lot of like evidence-based birth handouts. I send them all of that just so that they can read them over, maybe take them to their doctor's appointments and be like, well, this is what I've been reading. Like, can you tell me more about this? Or like, I'm not a fan of this. Can we try this instead if we do the induction? So at least they can have these conversations and be aware of what's going on and make decisions, because, you know, that's all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that tends to make people more comfortable going into an induction if they at least understand what's realistic, what could really happen, and how to advocate for themselves.
How many clients are you surprised that they're surprised about the things that you're talking about?
I mean, a lot of people who I work with are like, I'm looking to have a natural, low intervention vaginal birth, but I'm open to whatever happens. Like, there's a lot of flexibility there, and I think that's great. It's realistic. But I still think everybody is surprised by things that come up with inductions. I mean, because there's so many reasons why people are induced. There's a lot of reasons that doctors will give them, and it's like, they're like, why me? Like, or like, how did this happen? Things have been fine. I don't understand.
Yeah. Your pregnancy was fine up until you're giving birth, and all of a sudden, all of these medical interventions are happening.
Right. Exactly. So it usually catches my people off guard. Mm-hmm. I think. And then we have to, like, you know, we do a phone call, or like, we regroup. I talk to them about, evidence-based practices and give them ideas for questions that they can ask in their appointments. And that usually helps. And like, sometimes people push back and they're like, you know, I've been doing this reading and I want to wait another week. Can we just wait another week? And maybe I'll dilate more and things will happen spontaneously. And I think, you know, you weigh the risks and you look at like all of the information and they can make that choice. And, you know, sometimes that's all you need to go into labor naturally. And sometimes like, you still do the induction, but you can feel good about the choices that you made.
Yeah, that's also very true. I agree.
Yeah. So another part of doula support that like really drew me in, well, the advocacy piece was really important to me, because I have a pretty strong background in doing advocacy support in different capacities. Like I worked for that clinic. Before that I was working, with shelter support. Like, okay. I did like domestic violence and sexual assault support, advocacy work, and like trafficking support too. Wow. So I was working with people who were in a pretty vulnerable positions, and I would often be their advocate. Sometimes like in the ER when people were coming in after sexual assault. And that changed the way that I talk to people. I've done trauma-informed care trainings, crisis intervention trainings. Like, that's a huge part of this work, because, you know, all of that stuff is pretty prevalent in our lives. And that comes up in pregnancy and birth in varying ways. So I do talk to people about their PTSD history to a degree in our prenatals, and in our interviews sometimes. And I find that people are pretty drawn to me with that kind of history, A, because it's not that uncommon, and B, I have that. I have that in my background, in my wheelhouse. So, and those are people who I tend to really connect with, and I feel like I'm able to support really well. So that's been a huge part of my practice.
It does make sense. I mean, like, not just to butter your nipples, but like, you do have like a really calming, like, strong presence where like, you don't have to like be the loud person or the one creating attention in the room. Like, people are just drawn to you because of the way you're centered.
Yeah. Yeah. I stay pretty grounded throughout births and postpartum. And I think that like calms down everyone a little bit.
Absolutely.
Even like doctors who come in or providers who walk in the room and like things are like nice and calm. Like, that brings everyone down a couple notches, I think, and really helps when things do get feel like extra chaotic, to like reel everyone back in a little bit, which is nice. I like being able to do that, and that's kind of been my focus in my own practice. Yeah.
That's really awesome. If you could give one advice to anybody in our umbrella of care, right? So either postpartum doulas, overnight doulas, birth doulas, babysitters, provider, whatever. Like, if you could give like one advice from your personal bag of advices.
Well, I think what I've been learning a lot in the past year has been self-care and boundaries, like for myself, because I do kind of suck this all in, and it's a lot for me to handle, even with this background. Like it gets through the cracks, and it can get to me, and it can make me, it just like, it zaps my energy, you know? So I have to take care of myself, and I have to have boundaries where I can be like, okay, I need my times where people can't, you know, text me. I need, oh my God, I take a lot of baths. I texted you from my bath the other night. Yeah. I've made that a focus. I take baths all the time in my stupid little half bath tub in my crummy little Brooklyn bathroom.
Girl, I need to start taking baths.
I know. It's great. It definitely helps me like refocus. And like my muscles are like, my arms are killing me from these two births. I'm like holding a leg up like 3 hours. I like have to take the Epsom salt baths pretty routine. I like try to do it once a week, especially after birth. I get massages a lot too.
Okay.
It's so important. But yeah, that's really been a game changer for me. I have to take care of myself because if I'm depleted, I can't be like a doula.
Ching, ching, ching.
Yeah.
Yes, I love it. Talk to us about your handles. How do people find you? Like, if people want to like hire you, mm-hmm. where do they find you?
Okay, well, I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and I serve pretty much all the boroughs right now. I have a car. I go all over. I'm going out to Long Island later this month. It's going to be nice. But like, I'm all over the place. But my website is sweetthingdoula.com. And my email's on there, everything. People can contact me through there.
Awesome.
That's pretty much it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Love
it's been you. Amazing. Love you. Thank you so much.
Oh my God. Thanks for coming in, guys, and listening to this episode. It was a lot of fun to record. I hope you guys had a lot of fun listening to it. As always, email me, realdoulaclub@gmail.com. Instagram, realdoulaclub. I'll see you later. I bid you adieu. Bye.